Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bank.
At the Races with Steve Bates on Sirius XM Radio. The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bates on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the Races with Steve Bates on Sirius XM Radio.
Christmas in jail, Christmas in jail, had a little too much to drink, ain't got no bail, ain't got no bail, and I'm spending New Year's Eve in the clink. I was in the wrong lane, feeling no pain, souped my car to 75, ran right into it. They're singing down the street.
Yep, little
while
Christmas in jail.
Christmas turkey.
It's the house favorite.
Chuck Simon is joining us, and I had to bring Chuck in on this conversation because the graded stake committee decisions, which always create a lot of fodder for discussion, and yesterday Hammer explained some of the, you know, the ins and outs, and Andy, representing NYRA, had his thoughts. Sid just explained from a breeder, you know, from the breeder and the catalog page standpoint, and we touched on a lot of things. And Chuck, Chuck Simon joins us. You know, you were sounding off too, and you've been an advocate of lowering the grade one preps to for the Derby back to grade two. What's the right course of action that is a good, you know, a good forward, you know, progress when it comes to these stakes?
I think there's a lot of different variables you need to look for. And let me just say that I feel depressed today because Franco Harris passed away, unfortunately. And I wasn't even a Steelers fan, but it starts to hit home when the guys that you saw growing up passed. Anyways, it's you know, different variables. Of course, the Derby preps should not be grade one races. They just should not be, because no one is using those races as an ending point. It's not the focus of a race. It's actually a qualifier these days for the Kentucky Derby. That's what it is.
Right.
And pretending that it's anything other than that. And it does not mean that those races do not have prestige. They do. Of course they do. But you shouldn't have a grade one prep for a grade one. And if you're going to have a grade one prep, I mean, I saw arguments for the three-year-old champion title, and people were using Epicenter's Louisiana Derby race, which was, you know, pretty a dominant race and a pretty, you know, a representative field, against him because it was considered a grade two as opposed to the Santa Anita Derby, which was considered a grade one, despite only one horse being, I mean, I'll say, any good. I mean, no one else in the race is good. The rest of them have been terrible. So, like, why would the Oakland part, you know, the Arkansas Derby be considered a grade one, and the Santa Anita Derby is a grade one, but the Woods a grade two, and it just doesn't make any sense. And, I mean, that's horse racing, but, and you know, I wrote a dissertation this summer when I was bored about how the Toba and the Breeders' Cup should be far more involved. And I think one of the problems we have in this country with graded stakes is it's easy to say there's too many of them, and there are. But the scheduling is one of the issues that exists. And I used the Philly Oaks as my example. There's lots of oaks outside of the Kentucky Oaks. There's the Louisiana, you know, Delaware has their oaks, and Prairie Meadows has theirs, and Monmouth has theirs, and Indiana has theirs. And they're all grade three races, which is fine because not every horse can be a grade one horse. But they were all held within like 3 weeks of each other, which makes no sense. This is the same horses, the same fillies, they're two-turn dirt fillies that aren't up to grade one status. So why aren't we doing something to create a pattern of races, which is kind of what this thing was supposed to be way back in the early 70s, where the race at Monmouth leads into the race at Prairie Meadows, which leads into the race in Indiana, which leads into the race, you know, wherever the fourth one was. And this way we can have better fields in these races. And a person with a three-year-old filly who's pretty good has a chance to win multiple oaks, not just one. Of course, you know, that would take leadership and people not, you know, just collecting checks. But, I mean, it is Christmas season, so we can always hope for the miracle. But, you know, at Derby preps, just it just seems like if people are going to use one Derby prep against another Derby prep because of a grade that's arbitrarily assigned based upon, you know, prior years, it just doesn't make sense. And, I mean, let's face it, the committee's formula is, I don't know how, it's difficult to figure out sometimes what it is. And You know, like I talked about it on our show, Going in Circles the other day with Barry about the Cigar Mile. And I said, you know, it's easy to argue for or against any upgrade or downgrade. But my take on that is, why hasn't the Breeders' Cup and NYRA got together and formed a bonus structure of the Met Mile, the Breeders' Cup Mile, and the Cigar Mile, where a horse that could win those three races, because there just aren't that many other one-turn miles. Churchill could probably conjure up something in the summertime. I think they have, didn't Olympiad or Cody's Wish win a mile race at Churchill this summer, but it's a new race, so it's not even, I don't even think it's graded. But, you know, to create a division for those horses,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, well, there's nothing that ties them together. I mean, the Breeders' Cup Mile was just kind of thrown in there, and it's like, oh, well, you know, I have a race in the middle, and that's fine. But this is supposed to be championship races, and it's hard to be a champion of a division that doesn't really exist. So why not do that? And that would help, you know, the Breeders' Cup brand. It would create, it would continue to keep their name and the news a month afterwards. It would help the cigar race. It would help, it would, you know, hell, if we even got to the point where we could actually have an Eclipse Award for champion miler. I mean, what's, why not? Right.
Nah. That's a different can of worms. Just because it would, it's nice. It's a nice, I mean, the champion, more champions are always good. That was the thinking, I guess, when Steve Crist floated the whole going back to what's his name, back to Charlie Lopresti, Wise Dan, when people were struggling to comprehend, you know, older male. So all of a sudden we needed older male dirt and older male turf. Or male turf and older male dirt. That became a subset. The best example, there have been attempts on this truck. It's not like there isn't a template either, because when they created, you know, one of the funniest unintended consequence kind of discussions revolves around the juvenile turf. And when they created the juvenile turf, I remember everybody, we all, probably myself included, were like, oh, this is a pandering to the Europeans. And then it turned out that the Europeans didn't come in and dominate the juvenile turf. And subsequently, the racetracks working backwards created all kinds of paths to the juvenile turf races. And it's become a vibrant, and not only vibrant, it's one of the best, one of the most anticipated things, I think, going when it comes to the juvenile season, in a lot of ways, it you know, the path to the juvenile turf events, the route events. Another attempt that didn't work was the marathon. They tried to back up, and you know, the Greenwood Cup and the Brooklyn, and you know, there was an attempt to create some underpinnings for the marathon. That really didn't happen. But certainly the juvenile division, that works very successfully.
We had a conversation about the marathon the year that, it might have been years than Zenyatta won the Breeders' Cup at Churchill, or got beaten at the Breeders' Cup at Churchill. But you had Haskin and I on it, and I argued against the marathon because I said, you have got to create not just stake races. You can't just throw a couple stakes out there and say we have a division. You have to create maiden races and allowance races and a way to get to those horses, because the marathon division, when it was a lot, you know, around, it's just basically failed horses at other distances.
Right.
Horses that just aren't really good enough to be competitive at the grade one level or even the grade two level at around two turns on the dirt. And it you know, when they started sending, like, you know, horses from Europe that were running, weren't even running in stake races, it was time to pull the plug on that. But I mean, there's plenty of miles ridden, and I'm just thinking that there's so few opportunities for grade one horses around one turn at that distance, then why, instead of downgrading it, because downgrading it hurts that race. And it wasn't like it was the greatest group of horses this year, but there was credentialed horses. You know, it just seems like the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile is kind of, you know, you take that and you take the Met Mile, and the Cigar Mile was the third of that triumvirate, and there's really not anything else. I mean, am I missing something? I know Gulfstream Park runs one in like February or March,
right?
But it, I think Speaker's Corner won last year, and it's always been a pretty good race.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking that there's so much that could be done via scheduling, and the most productive, popular segment of horse racing, whether people want to hear it or not, is the Triple Crown.
Sure.
I mean, it's like so far heads and shoulders above everything else that we do in terms of popularity, in terms of mainstream engagement, in terms of interest. It's a series. And, you know, like, so why don't we have other series?
We haven't been able to even sustain the Triple Tierra. We haven't sustained the Handicap Triple Crown. For years, I've talked about, you know, why are we not tying together, the Haskell, the, Travers, and the Pennsylvania Derby?
There was an attempt at that, I know for sure, but it didn't go well. But, I mean, and those are races that really kind of hardly don't even need it, you know? That,
somewhat.
Exactly like the Kentucky Derby, but tether these races together so that there is a incentive for people to not just duck until the Breeders' Cup, and that's unfortunately what happens in a lot of the races, especially the races where there's you know, more available races at a high level, at a grade one, grade two level, then there are horses to fill them all. And that's why we see five horse races and four horse races. And some horses that, you know, get hustled in that just don't belong at all. And it's because there's a lot of choices. And, you know, like, it just is people these days, it's like the condition books, you know, like put the things out, make them longer. People are not going to be tricked into running. People are not going to take just running a race that doesn't fit them anymore. It's that, unfortunately, doesn't, you know, the mentality of the connections just isn't like that anymore. People are more choosy. They're willing to wait it out and find a race that fits their horse better. And unfortunately, for some of our top races, when you just can't get the horses, you know, to take a shot in those races. And sometimes there's, you know, the other little factor is that a lot of times the second tier horses are in the same barn as the guy with the first tier horse.
Yeah.
So it's not in his interest or her interest to do that. So, I mean, I just think that we could do a much better job of scheduling, and that would alleviate some of the problems without having to just slash the number of graded stakes, which I think should happen still. But someone has to be the instigator, and the TLBA owns the grades. The tracks are not going to do it willingly because they're all focused on some stupid festival that they're having that virtually no one cares about outside of them. You know, if we want to do things on a national scale, then we have to do things on a national scale. And, you know, it's the common good is rarely used, but that's just probably the world that we live in.
No, it's hard. Everybody wants to defend, you know, their program, and you know, then there are people that defend it because there's history attached to it. I mean, it's certainly in New York that and you know, Santa Anita, Keeneland, Churchill.
Yeah, I get the history angle, but that's not actually true anymore.
No,
if you take a look at most of the graded stakes in New York, the grade ones, They run them at different tracks than they used to. They run them on different surfaces than they used to. They run them at different distances than they used to. There's been a change. There's always change. And the thing is this, Steve, is a lot of the changes that the tracks might, you know, like kick and scream about not doing it, in the end, it'll probably help them. It'll help get them a better race. And, you know, it's just a difficult thing to ask one track to sacrifice, because everybody is going to say, well, you know, we gave in like there's this, but we want them to give in for this. It just set it up so that everybody gets, I mean, there's only how many we can identify the top dozen horses in any class pretty much rather easily. And the goal should be to get those horses together.
Yeah.
And you take the next 12 or dozen or so, you try to get those horses together. And horses that aren't competing at the grade one level can drop down and the other ones can rise up. And that should be the goal, because that would create better races, better, big, more rivalries. And it would legitimize some of these races as well, instead of,
right,
you know. So, anyways, I know you got my man Seth coming up, but I do want to say happy holidays to everyone. And you said something about Sid before. Sid, who's the smartest guy in racing by far. We better not see full pictures in 10 days, because that will be before January 1st.
11 days. 12 days.
In this country, we are not forced to incriminate ourselves. We can plead the fifth and not post pictures till at least the 10th of January, so that there's no... boy, that fall got big quick.
Exactly. Look at that. Look at that 300-pound baby.
Oh, man.
That baby looks like a yearling. Well, to be honest, he is. No. Oh, too funny. Chuck, I'm working on my schedule, so I think we'll I'm trying to figure out a way to get to Fountain of Youth, but we'll certainly talk to you before then.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm available for dinner consultations.
Outstanding. There you go. Well, we'll get...
I'm willing to drive to the hinterlands up there and maybe get a snowmobile and my snowshoes to get up to the headquarters up there in the Green Mountains.
Well, I will be here through the end of January, and then we launch into what really does look like a 3-month odyssey. I it's a strange calendar because of the NHC being in March. It's thrown my travel plans into a cocked hat.
Well, I don't know what that means, but it sounds intriguing. But, maybe not intriguing. Maybe it sounds unusual. But what they should have is the Travel Channel or the Food Network should have a cameraman following you around all these eclectic eateries all over the country.
Well,
we should have a show, Steve Bick's off the beaten path.
That's meals. Me. Did you? I sent you the burger, right? I sent you the
yes.
Psycho. I didn't even really I went back, actually. I went back a second time.
The double back.
I thought to myself, I'm not going to find anything better, so I'm going back. I went back on Saturday. Yeah.
There's no bigger seal of approval than the Steve Bick double back.
Hey, there it is. That's very true. Well, I had two Langer's visits in L.A., visits to Philippe, and I won't even tell people. I don't know what people had as my over-under at Fosselman's, but you needed to have 4.5. You needed to take the over, because there were 5 Fosselman visits in 7 days.
I'm gonna have to make a trip out to California.
Oh, the best. And I will tour you around. They'll come running to greet you.
I like that plan, and we could always venture off into the Frank Miramonte cheese pizza tour.
That's true. Well. That's a good point. I did have his at John Perrott, when John had the little party, they brought in pizza from Vito's, which is Frank's absolute favorite. And so I also got a chance to try Vito's. I forgot to talk about that. Maybe I'll get a Frank. You know what? I will get a Frank visit in Friday in advance of opening day. And they are taking entries right now anyway at Chris Merce and the staff at Santa Anita. So Chuckles, I appreciate it. Thanks for the input, and we'll talk to you in the new year. Best to your parents, and thank you.
You got it.
Thanks for everything. Chuck Simon, everybody. Let's round out the morning and get Seth in here. We got 10 minutes, and we got to get some plays. We may even have to bring Seth back twice for his seasonal greetings as well. And it doesn't look like we're going to get, now that I think about it, I was supposed to sit in with Seth at the studio, but I may have blown that opportunity. Seth.
Good morning.
Did I?
You were still in, you were still out in Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, I was.
And I'm out of town. Well, I mean, it's Christmas, so obviously there's no show. But whenever after that, your game.
All right. We'll do it in January. January, I'm around. Actually, I'm because there's no NHC. Are you coming? Are you doing NHC in March?
I don't think so.
No.
I'm still playing contests. I'm trying to get there on my own.
Yeah. There you go.
I've been playing some of those little feeders, but a couple of times I've been right there, just haven't had the right thing at the end.
You've been nibbling?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get you over the top. I imagine, I started before Chuck came in, I was starting to, as we were going to take the break after Sid, I wanted to reference what we've got for racing, and the weather is going to start to impact. Turfway's already canceled for Friday, because of what they anticipate to be close to zero temperatures. So
I think I saw Hawthorne canceled too.
Hawthorne too, all right. And then we'll see what else happens with the storm. I can tell you, though, at least tonight, these cards at Tampa, at Turfway, are just unbelievable. Tonight, 11 by 12 by 10 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12.
Yeah, last week, there's been a couple of times where I haven't been in late. There have been some, last season, there was a whole string where I was staying in late to do some turf way. But this year, at least early on, I haven't done that, but the card looked good. So I handicapped and tweeted out some picks and plays. And there's the opportunity for some fun there. There's no question about it.
Well, and in terms of quality, for those that say, well, what kind of racing? Here's tonight's pick five. Not the pick five, actually. Pick five is, or they do an early pick five. But starting in race four tonight, you got a 6.5 furlong, $70,000 maiden special weight. Then you've got three straight allowances, a 1 mile filly and mare, $72,000 purse allowance. Then another filly and mare going 6.5. And then you've got males going 6.5 for $78,000. Non-winners at two. The other two are first level. And then it ends with a $30,000 non-winners at two lifetime. So you can't complain about field size. You can't complain about quality of fields. I'm sure there's people who say, well, it's synthetic and I'm not interested. All right. Okay. I guess. But there's a lot to like about what they're offering on a daily basis at Turfway.
I agree. And I just checked, double-checked on Hawthorne. They're canceled on Friday, it says.
Yeah, so is Turfway.
Yeah.
That's the cold snap that I guess is running through. Well, and I don't want to leave out some of the other venues either. Tampa today has got a solid card, and it includes a maiden special for three and ups. Phillies and mares going short on the dirt. You got a turf optional claimer, starter allowance. You got pick five that goes 10 by 6 by 8 by 8 by 10. Not so bad at all. And parks today, they've got the usual miscellaneous, lots of starter allowances and nice variety of stuff. Gulfstream runs today, and the turf situation there, they are, you know, some of the reporting and some of the information, apparently they've doubled back, Seth, and they are going to continue to run stakes and allowances short on the grass. It's the cheaper races will no longer be run on the turf. They're going to save that turf course that apparently is struggling a little bit to drain thoroughly. So they're going to be a little protective of it until I think things get really going.
They are off today, both tracks in Florida, though.
Yep. Tampa 2 is off?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Racing resumes tomorrow in New Orleans as well. Where did you look today?
I'll toss out a pick four at Tampa. There's nothing super there, especially with a couple of races off the turf, but I put a little ticket together and see if we can make something happen. Starts in the sixth. That one's on the dirt at 6.5 for maiden specials. I went 6-2-5-3. I could probably just go with the 6 and the 2, but again, I'm paring it down in some of the other races, particularly off the turfs. So I went 4 deep and maybe we'll get in one of the horses underneath, but I put Practicality on top, who's 6-5 on the morning line, probably deservedly so, just missing the debut with Practical Joke on top as a win early sire. There was also a sibling called Hydraulic that won the first 2 starts of the career. So I thought there was win early top and bottom and just missed living up to that in the debut. So logical, but maybe we can shop for a price. Kathleen O'Connell has Alexis Dream. I think that one coming off the seasonal debut at Tampa had run prior a couple of times at Gulfstream, September and October, but comes over to Tampa and I thought ran decently comparatively speaking to this group. Maybe we can get a, you know, shot for a price. Like I said, I'm going to go 4 deep, and if something upsets the apple cart, maybe this makes the pick four a little more intriguing. A little turf to dirt move from Irish Kitten. The dirt race just before that was okay, but now off of those two, the trainer is off to a decent little start at the meet. 12-1 on the morning line. I'll throw that one in, and Ginger Sparkle I'll put in the mix as well. Hasn't been seen since summer at Gulfstream, but if there's a price there, you know, so a couple of possible upsetters in the mix. I'll go 6-2-5-3. The seventh race is off the turf, mile and 40. I'm going to go 3-6. I'll go with the horse that clearly wanted to get the surface. The main track only entrant, Grand Pick, comes in off some dirt starts over at Tampa, including the maiden breaker, 2 back on the dirt. So, again, they get the surface they wanted. And Flawless Cat had a couple of decent tries on the dirt so far. For my man, Mike Dini, who last week had a couple of off-the-turfers win at nice prices. Well, at least one of them was at a nice price. But this one broke the maiden for 50. Then came back in an optional claimer starter allowance, probably, you know, decent salty group at Delaware, should fit with this group today. So I'll use those two in the seventh. I'll use the 3 and the 6 in the eighth race. Again, I'll go 4 deep in here. As I say, just seeing if maybe we can find some kind of value. I have a 5-3-7-2. Lord Barrier on top goes out for Kathleen O'Connell. Again, seasonal debut at Tampa, you know, raced at Tampa last season, raced end of last season. It was earlier this year, but raced decently. Then came back September at Monmouth and a start down here. I think with those two under the belt since finishing up the Tampa year last year, Lord Barrier looks to be kind of prime. Isle of Sky goes out for Avril Racing, Gerald Bennett, your potent combo down there at Tampa. Comes in off a good try at Monmouth, albeit in August. So a little bit of a layoff. Workouts aren't really given much direction one way or the other, but I think the horse will be ready. Chromed Impulse, last seen in June at Thistle. That's the question. How's this horse going to class up? 4-1 on the morning line. I'm going to be curious what we get here. That's probably about right, but about the layoff, I would like to see that would maybe click up a little bit, and I'm not sure I'll get that. But Coco Bravado also in the mix. Trainers going pretty well this year, and I think this one fits in here. So I'll go 4 deep in there, 5-3-7-2. And I'll end it, another off the turf where I'll go 3 deep. Again, just to keep the ticket, you know, at a fairly reasonable price and just have some fun with the off-the-turfers in the mix. 2-11-6-2, She's Sky High, 10-1 on the morning line. There were some dirt races underneath that are okay. Camacho on board attracted my attention, certainly. So with a little bit of dirt form down the page, I'll go there. Dinah's Honor, going to be interested to see what we get price-wise. 4-1 on the morning line, but that was on the turf. This is a horse with only one start, but it was on the synthetic at Presque Isle. But there was a sibling called Dinah Power that was a close second in the career debut a couple of years ago right here against Maiden Claimers at Tampa. So I thought, yeah, it might be interesting with the surface switch. And again, I'm intrigued to see what the price will be. And then number 11, Song of the Heart, has some dirt races that are okay. And that may be enough in this off the turf. So I'll go 3 deep, 2, 11, and 6.
All right. Run it down. Then all the numbers.
Starting from race 1, 2, 3, 5, 6 with 3, 6 with 3, 5, 7 with 2, 6, 11.
Very nice. There you go. 4 by 2 by 3 by 3, $36. Nicely done. And there it is. Your Seth Merrow play of the day, starting at race 6, right?
Yeah,
you got it. Race 6. Got about a minute.
You got a tree up? I'm curious. I'm asking everybody, what do you have on, a star or an angel?
Tina has got a star that spins lights on the ceiling.
Upgrade. Very good.
It's very, it's very nice. We got the... We made the transition. I have this discussion with Sean Clancy. We'll probably talk to him tomorrow, you know, to the artificial tree. And then I just, you know, I take some of that evergreen spray and make it, you know, spray it around.
very good. Very good. Well, that all works.
Well, Sean,
these days the artificial trees are quite nice.
This was
so long as it's green. If it's one of those white ones, then forget it.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I am going to put up, even though Johnny hasn't been able to join us this, you know, the last couple of months, I do have to put up the annual picture of his wife, Gail, with the tree there in Philly. Along with Christmas in Jail, that's a at the races tradition. So we will get that up. And this tree, though, we got at... I think we got it at Home Depot. We're more Lowe's shoppers than Home Depot shoppers, because I worked in Kannapolis for Cannon Mills, and so, which is Lowe's hometown. But I was able to negotiate the purchase of that tree, and it was a floor model, and we got it for like a $600 tree for like $200. Tina was blown away by my negotiating skills. So we're going to get blown away here by the noon whistle. Seth, I'll get back to you, Seth, for Friday for your Christmas greetings.
Okay, sounds good.
Seth Merrow, Chuck, and Sid, and Eric Hamelbeck, and Dick Powell today, everybody. Good luck if you're playing. I'm looking at Turfway, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Gold on the apple.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses.